This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Who are your Omer? Rabbi Chanina Mendoza also said, "Kol shemaisa merubim michochmaso chochmaso miskayemes." Whoever's deeds exceed his wisdom, he does more than he knows, which we'll see in 1 second how that can be. So his wisdom will be preserved. The kol shechachmaso merubim michochmaso, a person knows more than he does. He doesn't fulfill everything he knows. Ein chachmaso miskayemes, then his wisdom will not be preserved. Who are you, Omer? And most versions, this is a totally new Mishnah. But again, as the Abarbanel learns it, it's part of that Mishnah that we just said. Who are you, Omer? Again, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza said the following. Kol sheruach habrios noche himenu. Whoever people like, I'll translate it very simply, that's seemingly what it is, people are happy with someone, then ruach hamokom noche himenu. Then God also is happy with that person. V'chol she'ein ruach habrios noche himenu, ein ruach hamokom noche himenu. And whoever people don't like, the Rabban Shem doesn't like him either. Very difficult Mishnah, because there are a lot of people in this world that people like that are not very good people. And there are people that are very good people that people don't like. So we have to understand what exactly the Mishnah means. And we'll see today the Abarbanel, and we'll leave other commentaries for the weeks to come. The Abarbanel connects this. First of all, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was a very interesting Tana. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was known to be an exemplary tzaddik, and it says that the whole world was provided for in his merit, and he himself subsisted on kav charuvim. He lived on boxer, right, a small amount the whole week. It was a tremendous tzaddik. Miracles happened to him, and he was so used to miracles happening for him, they were like nature. It says once his daughter-in-law lit Shabbos candles with what she thought was oil, and she found out after, too late, it was already Shabbos, and it was vinegar. So she's afraid they wouldn't have any light. He said, "What's the big deal? The same God that said oil can burn can say vinegar can burn," and surely burnt the whole Shabbos through till Havdalah. They made Havdalah on it. So also there was an animal that was killing people. It was a poisonous snake or some kind of animal. And Rabbi Chanina Mendoza went and put his foot on the hole where this animal hid, and the animal came out and bit him, and the animal died. So the Gemara says, we learn from there, it's not the poisonous animals that kill, it's sin that kills a person. And a person like Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, who was free of sin, right, didn't affect him at all. So that was the Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. And he said that the Abarbanel says, what is this connected to the Mishnayos before? If you remember, the previous Mishnayos spoke about two themes, both to do with Torah. One is that the most immediate Mishnah before this is that a person should do everything in his power to remember the Torah he learns. Because if you forget it because you don't review, you cause yourself to forget, you're transgressing a prohibition that you have to remember the Torah that you learn. And however, if a person forgets because his mind gets weak or the subject matter was too difficult for him to grasp, that does not apply. The prohibition doesn't apply. So that was the most immediate Mishnah, that it's important for one to remember their Torah learning. The previous Mishnayos said that somebody, and also the Mishnayos right before that said that a person who's learning Torah shouldn't stop learning and interrupt his learning even for observing nature or for other things or whatever. And the previous Mishnayos before that said that somebody who learns Torah the God's presence dwells amongst him. Ideally with 10 people, even 5, even 3, even 2, and even 1. Those are the Mishnayos we've learned in the past that are part of this chapter, and this is part of that sequence. So the Abarbanel says that this Mishnah is connected in one of two ways to the previous Mishnayos. Since the previous Mishnayos speak about not interrupting your learning and not forgetting your learning, so he says that one of the ways of preserving your learning is to make sure that your fear of heaven precedes the learning itself. Because if you learn Torah, Torah is not secular wisdom. Secular wisdom depends on the gray matter of your brain, how you learn it, and how much you can retain. But Torah is spiritual wisdom, and therefore it depends on your shamayim, it depends on your fear of heaven. So if you want to fulfill what it says in the Mishnayos before, not to interrupt your learning, not to forget it, there's one other ingredient, and that is that you have to make your Yirah Shamayim paramount over the learning itself, which we'll see what that means. That is one way of learning this, the continuation. The second way is that this is a continuation of the other Mishnayos that we said, that when a person learns Torah, God's presence devolves. But there's another condition for that. You can't just be learning Torah. You have to be learning Torah with Yirah Shamayim. If you have fear of heaven, then when you learn Torah, God's presence devolves. If you learn without Yirah Shamayim, then you're not, don't merit that God's presence should devolve for a person who learns Torah without Yirah Shamayim. And the Abarbanel explains that a person who is predisposed to Yirah Shamayim, in other words, he understands that he was put in this world not merely to exist physically, but to exist spiritually. And he understands that sinning harms him both in this world and surely for the next world. And doing mitzvahs aids him. So he's very much concerned to do things that will be beneficial spiritually and not to do things that will be detrimental spiritually. So that kind of person, just the innate feeling of wanting to do what God wants him to do and not do what God doesn't want him to do, will ensure, as we'll explain in a second, that his learning will be preserved. In a second, we'll explain how that works. However, somebody who is not predisposed to that, so he has to build up a appreciation of Yirah Shamayim, an appreciation of the fact that there's more to this world than the physical world, and that what he does spiritually affects him eternally. How do you build up that feeling? By doing good things. The more mitzvahs you do, the more averas that you refrain from doing, you get into the habit of worrying about spiritual things. So actions create reactions. Motions create emotions. So if you are predisposed to Yirah Shamayim, then that will help to preserve. If you're not, then do a lot of mitzvahs. Anyway, you have to do mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs will have a secondary benefit of bringing you to Yirah Shamayim, because what you do affects how you think. And the more mitzvahs you do, the more you're concerned about doing good and not doing things that are negative, the more Yirah Shamayim you will get. Okay, so now, how does that work? So he says that somebody who has Yirah Shamayim, either he has it innately, he's reached a level where he's a Yirah Shamayim, or he's working on it by doing things that will instill in him Yirah Shamayim, right? Another, having a lot of deeds. So that person is going to want to learn. He's not going to have to be pushed to learn. Because since he's concerned about his welfare, spiritual welfare in this world and the next, if he doesn't know what the mitzvahs are, and he doesn't know what averus are, right, he's going to end up harming himself and not benefiting himself. So if he has a desire to do things that are positive spiritually and stay away from things that are negative, he's going to want to learn. Because only by learning does he know what's beneficial and what's detrimental. So he's not going to be pushed to learn for outside reasons. For instance, to get COVID, to get wealth. Because those things, if he doesn't need the wealth or he doesn't need the COVID, right, he'll stop learning. Because they're only outside incentives. But if a person has the inner incentive to always want to be well-versed in what's good for him and what's not good for him eternally, so he's going to have to learn constantly in order to preserve his innate desire of Yiras Shamayim. So that's what it means. Anybody who has Yiras Shamayim first, and that's the incentive to learn, so his learning will be preserved. Because he's not going to give up on learning, he's going to constantly be learning. And if he doesn't have that innate Yiras Shamayim, then deeds are going to bring him to it, and the more that his deeds precede his learning, the learning is going to be preserved, because the deeds are going to bring him to Yiras Shamayim, and the Yiras Shamayim is going to bring him to want to learn, and not to interrupt his learning, and not to forget his learning. So that's the continuation of this Mishnah from the previous Mishnayos. Okay, and so that's what he says. The way to acquire Yiras Shamayim is through doing things, right? Like we said, motions create emotions. Okay, once had a woman in my kehillah in Miami who. She was brought up in a very, what they call over here, dati light atmosphere. In other words, the people were basically Shomer Shabbos, ate kosher, but didn't take Yiddishkeit too seriously. It was, I hate to use labels, so I'm not going to use other labels because they don't really apply. But that's a good, in other words, they were minimally religious, okay? And therefore, whatever had a K on the label, even if it was in the name of the product, was kosher. Shabbos, as long as you didn't drive and answer the phone, you were keeping Shabbos. That was the mode of the family, and this woman grew up in that family. She got married to a man similar background. And then they had their first child. When she had her first child, she began to think to herself, I have to bring up this child to be a frum yid. And if I don't take things too seriously myself, what's going to be with the child? He'll be even worse. So she began to learn and began to upgrade her shmiras hamitzvos. She first came to shiur on kashrus, and she re-kashered her kitchen and started only buying products with good hechsherim. And that took about a year. After that, she started learning about Shabbos. And her husband went along with all of this. He was a tzaddik. He went along with her. And they learned together. They came to shiurim, kashrus, Shabbos, and they upgraded their shmiras Shabbos. And they reached a very nice level. This took about 2 years. And then I called her in, and I said, you know, I'm very impressed with the way that you've improved your shmiras hamitzvos, right? But I think you're ready for the next thing. Next thing was tznius.
This one?
Dressing modestly. In Miami at that time, because of the climate, most regular frum people did not dress tzanua. Okay? In Miami, it was a mazel if you dressed all together. So it was something. Surely, the married women did not cover their hair. The only married women who covered their hair in the Kehillah were the rabbi's wives or the teachers in the day school's wives. Yeshivalite. Regular balabatim, that was the custom for that generation, for the most part, that they didn't cover their hair. Didn't wear a shekel, didn't wear a tichel, nothing. And she's a married woman, and she also didn't cover her hair, and also didn't dress 100% according to the halachas of tznius. So I said, I think that you're ready for the next stage, to start learning about, that's also a mitzvah, to dress properly according to the Torah, to cover your hair, and I think that you should go for improving in this area too. She told me, she said, Rabbi, if I start covering my hair, people are going to think I'm a Rebbetzin. And I don't feel like a Rebbetzin inside. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. As soon as I feel like a Rebbetzin inside, I will start covering my hair. That's what she told me. I said to her, you know what you can be compared to? A person comes to shul on Simchas Torah, and he says, I don't really feel happy. If I get up and dance, I'm a hypocrite. People think I'm happy, and I'm really not. So I'm going to sit here and contemplate being happy. And as soon as I'm happy, I'm going to get up and dance. The guy will sit there till Tisha B'Av. Right? He'll never get happy. How do you get happy? You dance. That's not a hypocrite. That's how you get emotions, by going through the motions. You dance, you become happy. So you the same thing. If you continue dressing immodestly, you're never going to feel modest. If you start dressing modestly, you'll feel modest. So eventually you'll feel like that. That's not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who puts on an act. He doesn't want to ever get to that level. He just wants people to think he's there. That may be a hypocrite. Even that may be not so terrible. But they're surely not a hypocrite. It's somebody who's going through the motions because they want to reach a level, but the way to reach the level is to go through the motions, just like the Abba Benel says over here. You want to get to Yiras Shamayim? Do mitzvahs. Do good things. And be concerned about things that will promote your spiritual existence in this world and the next world. The more you do it, the more you condition yourself and program yourself for Yiras Shamayim. Motions lead to emotions.
What about someone who just wants to keep halacha? I mean, I'm covering my hair since my chuppah, even under my chuppah I did. But I have to tell you, I didn't think it through that I'm a Rebbetzin and I know that. It just wasn't a shaila.
The reason to do it is because of halacha. But her reason for not doing it was that she's putting on an act. That's what she was afraid of. Right? She's going to look like she's somebody that doesn't deserve, since in the community only people that were clay kodesh covered their hair, she would give that impression. She didn't want to give that impression if it was hypocritical. So I told her, it's nothing like that.
Everybody's doing it. Exactly.
That's why the Gemara compares Yiras Shamayim to the building. That's the goal. The goal is that a person should be a Yiras Shamayim. Right? The way to reach that goal is by doing all the things in the Torah that will lead you to be a Yiras Shamayim. The Pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimoch, what does God want from you? Ki im leYiras Hashem Elokecha. He only wants you to be a God-fearing person. You should have an awareness constantly that you have a connection to God. That's the goal. That's the building. But then after that it says, so what is all that other things? Says the Abba Benel, that is the way to reach Yiras Shamayim. You want to have an awareness of God, so love Him and follow in His ways and do His mitzvahs, and all of that will lead you to Yiras Shamayim, which is the ultimate goal of everything. That's what how the Abba Benel learns that pasuk. Ein lakadosh baruch hu bi'olam ela Yiras Shamayim bilvad. And that's why Chazal say that a person who doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, he has Chochmah. The Chochmah can lead him to Yiras Shamayim, to tell him what mitzvahs to do, what not to do, right? But he has Chochmah, but he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim. So it's like building a door without the building. It's not going to remain. Right? The Chachma is the means to reach Yerushalayim. You don't have the Yerushalayim. You have the doorway, but you don't have a building. The doorway can't stand without being connected to a building. And the Gemara says it's like somebody who has the inside keys, but he doesn't have the outside keys. You don't have the way to get to there. So without Yerushalayim, your Chachma is to a certain degree irrelevant. And he says, therefore, there's another condition, though. People can have a lot of Maisim Tovim, and they can appear as if they're Yirei Shamayim, but they're really fakers. They're putting on an act. So how do you know if somebody is putting on an act or not? So people, he says something that I think P.T. Barnum said. Not that P.T. Barnum knew Rav Chinah ben Dosa, and not to insinuate that Rav Chinah ben Dosa took it from P.T. Barnum. You can fool some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Says the Abarbanel, Lahavdil, that thing. Said people can sense who's real and who's faker, usually. Right? You can fool some people, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So therefore, there's one more litmus test, aside from having Yerushalayim. And if you don't have it innately, developing it by doing mitzvahs and staying away from averus, the way to know is somebody that people respect because they know he's the real thing. So you can know that God really likes him, he's not a faker. And somebody that people feel that this is not the real thing by him, then you know the Rabban Shalom also knows what's in his heart. That's the connection with this next next Mishnah. He also says another idea of Chachmasa Miskayemes. He says not only is a person's wisdom going to be preserved for him, meaning that he'll learn constantly, he won't interrupt his learning because he's interested, because of Yerushalayim, to know what to do and what not to do, because it affects his eternity, because he's a Yerushalayim. But also, he's not going to forget it. He's going to learn it and remember it, because if he forgets it, he could come to do things that are not proper, and he's concerned about that. So that's one meaning of Chachmasum, is it remains by him. But another way is Chachmasum is Kayemes by other people. Other people will learn from him and be inspired by him if he's the real thing, if he really has Yerushalayim. But if he's not, eventually people will know, and it won't make an impression on them. How do you know if the person is sincere or not? Look and see how the majority of people look at him all the time. Right? And you, like he says, he said, Mama said those words, you can't fool all the people all the time. So if you're not really sincere, eventually people will get the message, and therefore your wisdom will not be preserved by the people that you are trying to inspire and to instruct. So it's not only it won't be preserved for you, it won't be preserved by others either. That's the way that the Abarbanel learns these three Mishnayos, the connection between them, and the connection between the previous Mishnayos, why Rav Chinah ben Dosa is a continuation of what we learned before. Okay, that is.
Also work the other way around.
Meaning?
Most people think that somebody is just a fool, and but eventually, if he wasn't just a fool, eventually people will find out.
Could be. I mean, it's not immediate. It's something that is over a longer period of time. On the other hand, if you take this to its extreme conclusion. Right, there's a maisa with Rabbi Yonason Apeshitz when he was a little boy. So the bishop or priest of the area invited him for a meeting. He was known to be a genius even as a little boy. So invited him, he wanted to speak to him. So, but he didn't tell him how to get to the meeting room. So the maisa, Rabbi Yonason Apeshitz, found his way. So he asked him, how did you find the way? He said, well, I asked people, and he had instructed some of them to mislead him. He said, but I went after the majority. And the majority of people who told me, I figured they're the ones that are telling me the right way, and that's how I got here. He said, very interesting. He said, do you know that we Christians are the majority of the world, and you Jews are the minority? So why are you Jewish? If you say you should go after the majority, and you told me that that's how you knew how to get here, because you go after the majority, what the majority of people say. They can't all be wrong, right? So go after the majority. So why don't you convert to be Christian? Go after the majority. So Rabbi Yonasan Nefesh told him the following. When is there a rule to go after the majority? When there's a doubt. You're not sure. I don't know where the meeting place is, so I could follow the minority opinion or the majority. So you resolve doubts by going after the majority. But if I would have known 100% where the meeting room is, if everybody would have told me something else, there's nothing to go after the majority. There's no doubt. I said, I have no doubts. So just know there's nothing to go after the majority. So therefore, it's limited to where the majority is telling you something that's possible. But the majority of people, and even all people, can be wrong sometimes. What's it called? And be misled. So if there's no doubt and you know for sure, right, then you don't go after the majority, even if everybody says something different. Okay.
And you spoke about Yiras Shamayim. How does it relate to Emunah?
Emunah is the foundation of Yiras Shamayim. If you don't believe in God, you can't fear God. So fear meaning awe, knowing that how you relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a difference to you, right? In this world, the next world, or whatever, what you do is significant. So Emunah gives the basis, and then believing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved with you brings you to Yiras Shamayim. That's the connection between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
And where would you fit Bitachon in? Where would you say Bitachon?
What?
Where would you put Bitachon?
Bitachon is somewhere a bridge between them, because first you have to believe that there's a God. That's Shabbos. Okay? And then you have to believe that God is involved with the world. He's just not this great creator that's not connected to the world at all. And if he's connected to the world, that means it's significant to him what you do. And if it's significant, meaning that you have free choice. Because if you didn't have free choice, you're a robot. So nothing is significant in what you do because it's all programmed. If you have free choice, then there's reward and punishment. If there's reward and punishment, it makes a difference to you what you choose. That's how you get to Yiras Shamayim. Okay, and that's Yom Tov. Tells me there's a God. Yom Tov tells me that God is involved in the world and what we do makes a difference.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.